Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, football fans. This is Deb Ginn coming to you today from Arizona. I'm out of town, and sure California is sunny, probably not as warm as Phoenix. This is Women's Friday Night Football Preview, brought to you care of Women's Football Talk. Women's Football Talk continued, pretty much produced by BJ. I'm not sure what all she does, but she makes the bells and whistles work. So we are looking at the Independent Women's Football League in the WFA. Those of you who follow women's football, you are aware of the fact that we have both leagues in the playoffs now. We just had the first round playoffs for the IWFL, and we are awaiting the second round of playoffs, which will happen July 11th. July 11th will also be the first round of playoffs for the WFA, and we're going to begin with the WFA tonight. I haven't talked as much about the WFA. But we are going to begin with them. They do have an 8-team playoff regiment scheduled here. They've divided the different conferences and divisions into regions. And I believe I have this fairly well organized for you, but if I make a mistake, I don't know. We'll just have to go from there. The first region... the winner for that region is the Philadelphia Liberty Bells. Now, that's the National Conference, and it's the Northeast Division. The Liberty Bells are 8-1. And then they will be playing the wild card team, which is the Indiana Speed. Now, the Indiana Speed are actually from Region 2 in the Central Division. They were beat out for the top spot by the West Michigan Mayhem, which I'll talk about them in just a minute. The Indiana Speed are 6-2. So we'll be talking about that matchup. Region 2, the matchup is going to be between the West Michigan Mayhem and the Columbus Comets. The West Michigan Mayhem are 8-0, and they are from the Central Division, and the Columbus Comets are the Mid-Atlantic Division, also 8-0. From the American Conference, there are four teams. Region 3 is the Southeast Division, and that team qualifier will be the Jacksonville Dixie Blues. They are 8-0. From Region 4, the Midwest Division of the American Conference, and that's the St. Louis Slam. They're 7-0. The Austin Outlaws qualified for Region 5, which is the Southwest Division. They are 7-1. Their only loss, I believe, was the Mustangs. So that's a tight division there. And then the Pacific Southwest Division, that's Region 6, and that's the Las Vegas Showgirls, who are also 8-0. So we've got those teams all matching up, and I'd like to go through just a few statistics for you. First, the Liberty Bells and the Indiana Speed. The Liberty Bells have accumulated 2,525 yards, and that is very close to the Indiana Speed's 2,516. So there's only about 9 yards difference. 1 yard separates these as far as yards per game. The Liberty Bells average 360-361 per game. Indiana Speed averages 359. Running or rushing yardage, the Liberty Bells racked up 2,251 yards, and that's about 370 yards per game. Indiana Speed has 1,686, and that's 240 yards rushing per game. Obviously, that means that the Indiana Speed have more air attack. They have 830 yards from the air. That's 118 yards average per game. And then 274 for the Liberty Bells, 39 yards per game. When we look at the personnel of the Liberty Bells, we go back to one of our first interviews. That's Mary Rose Roach. She has 1,000 yards on the season. She averages 31 yards a carry, and she's had 13 TDs. For the Speed, Leah Cassis has accumulated 970 yards. She averages 14 yards a carry. She's had 12 TDs. And the quarterback for the Indiana Speed is Kathy Longcomb. And she's been quite a good quarterback. I believe she's fourth. And I had all my statistics up here, but let me see if I can go back and find where my statistics are here. They also have a very, very good kicker for the Indiana Speed, and she's one of the league-leading kickers. Let me get down to the kicking information here. Catches. Sorry about this. Had all this and then my browser crashed. My TV window is open. Okay, so the kicker for the Speed, and looking for touchdown. Yeah, there we go. Molly McCoffey, I believe I'm saying her name right. She's had 38 attempts and 32 point afters, and so that is pretty remarkable. Pretty good percentage there. Field goals, she is second. She had two field goals. Her longest field goal was 30 yards. So she doesn't have a real chance to prove her distance, but then she's very consistent with the point after. Let me see if there's any other statistics that are crucial there. I don't believe so. The Liberty Bells are averaging 9.4 points that they're giving up every game, while the Indiana Speed is averaging 7 points. I am going to definitely say that this game is going to depend pretty much on the defense. And when you look at the defensive statistics, you just see a lot more Indiana Speed names popping up there. They have forced fumbles. They have interceptions. They're 6th or 7th on interceptions. Mariah McCarron Allen has 7 sacks, so they've got a team of 3 highest on sacks, individual tackles. Well, I'm not too many individual tackles, but tackles for a loss. Now Karen Allen is up there too, so you just see a lot of good defense coming from the Indiana Speed. So I'm going to go with the Indiana Speed. You cannot underestimate the Liberty Bells as far as their offensive attack. They had like at one point in the season they had like three or four running backs that were in the top rushers. So the Liberty Bells are definitely up for this task. It's going to be a very close game. I'm just going to call the Indiana Speed because I just like defense. Okay, so the second matchup we're going to discuss tonight, I'm going to give you a few statistics, and this is the game between the West Michigan Mayhem and the Columbus Comets. Just to remind you, that's Region 2. And this game is, again, a very close game. The Mayhem have 2,742 yards. They're averaging 342 yards per game, just over that maybe. The Comets have accumulated 2,626 yards, and they're averaging 328 yards per game. Mayhem have a total of 1,646 yards in the rushing category, and then another 1,096 in the passing game. So they have a very well-rounded attack, and they can hit you either direction. Columbus, on the other hand, is a little bit more one-dimensional. They've got 2,200 yards all rushing and then only 400 in the passing. So I believe that we're going to see quite a game coming from the West Michigan Mayhem. My call is that they're going to take this game. They have a really strong quarterback, Jody Malcourt, and she leads the league in passing, which that's where we get that 1,000 yards there. They also, although I didn't find as much on the Mayhem as far as defense. They do have Jennifer Plummer, who has 89 tackles so far this season, so that's nothing to shake the stick at. They don't seem to have, like, the girls that are defending the defending the air bowls, but they don't really have that many people throwing against them. Got a couple people as far as sacks. Let's see, Chelsea Plotner has 6 sacks, but I just think that they're only giving up 1.9 points per game, whereas Columbus Comets are putting, allowing 5.9 points per game. So in that particular matchup, for Region 2, we're going to go with the Mayhem. For the next one, we're going to go with Region 3 and 4. That's going to be the Jacksonville Dixie Blues versus the Austin Outlaws. Got quite a bit of firepower from the Jacksonville Dixie Blues. First of all, their quarterback is the highest rated in the league. She's 4th as far as accumulation of yards, but as far as ratings, that means attempts and completions versus any kind of penalties or turnovers. She is ranked the highest. Their offense has accumulated 1,990 yards. The Austin Outlaws have accumulated 1,832. Per game, we're looking at Jacksonville Dixie Blues with 332 yards a game. Austin is just at around 305. Austin outdoes the Dixie Blues in the rushing category. They get 1,700 yards in rushing. But combined, you can see that the Dixie Blues are a little bit higher. They have 1,200 rushing and another almost 800 in passing. So a little bit more of an even attack. Outlaws virtually have no passing game. The firepower that I'm talking about with the Dixie Blues is, besides their quarterback, by the way, that's Brantley Mack. They have Ishika Lay. I believe that's how you, Ishika Lay. Excellent defender. In fact, she was up on the website, I believe, this week. She's unbelievable. She's had just an amazing number of tackles and very strong defender. Let me see if I can find where her stats are. Let me see. They also have a player that many people who have followed football for a while are familiar with, and that is Rocky Brown. She's had 54 tackles. I'll tell you about her offense in a little bit, but individual forced fumbles, Ishika Lay has forced 6, and then fumble recovery, she's had 4. So that's pretty amazing. She's got a total of 73 yards on those fumbles. As far as Rocky Brown, we'll go back to her for a minute. She also has 600 yards rushing, almost 700, and she averages 11 yards a carry. And then she has 11 touchdowns so far. So I just think the Jacksonville Dixie Blues are pretty stacked. They give up 13 points per game. The Outlaws give up an average of 19 points per game. So in that particular matchup for Regions 3 and 4, we're going to go with the Jacksonville Dixie Blues. Now, I think we kind of got, in Region 5 and 6, I think we kind of got a slight bit of a mismatch here. We've got the St. Louis Slam, and then we've got the Las Vegas Showgirls. Now, the Showgirls are a great team. They lead the league in the air. But I just don't feel like the Showgirls have had a chance to prove themselves against a lot of real strong competition. When we look at the Showgirls, they have an excellent quarterback. She's 2nd in passing behind Jody Markwart. I'm sorry, sometimes I have trouble saying her name. Carrie Mitek is the Las Vegas Showgirls quarterback. She's 2nd in passing, like I said. The St. Louis Slam, however, fairly even on their, they have 2,624 yards, 1,800 of those are rushing yards, and then another 800 in the air. They average 374, almost 75 yards a game. The Showgirls have 1,800, almost 1,900 yards a game, on the season, and then they have an average of 311 yards per game on the season. like I said, the top team as far as passing offense. Well, no, maybe they're behind the Mayhem. Yeah, it looks like they're behind the Mayhem. But they have 1,800 yards, no, 1,084 yards in the air, which is 180 yards per game in the air. The Slam averaged 115 yards in the air. Now, the big difference here that I think is going to be crucial is defense. And you see the Vegas Showgirls all over when it comes to, by the way, the show, let me go back to this defensive stuff here. The Showgirls do show up quite often, but so do the Slam players. I mean, we got Kelly Colson from the Slam with 69 tackles. We have Kelly Colson with 11 tackles for a loss. We have sacks. Elizabeth Williams with 4. The Showgirls have Vanessa Hernandez with 7. So we see a lot. We got the Kelly Colson again with 4 interceptions. We got Lori Glicias with 3 interceptions. The Showgirls have Stephanie Gamer with 3 interceptions. So we got a lot of defense coming from this team, from both of these teams. The problem that I see is that even though the Showgirls are playing slightly less strength with their opponents that they're facing, they still give up 13 points per game, whereas the Slam give up only 3.4 points per game. And what's crucial about that is that the Slam are in a pretty tough division. The Slam play, and I'm trying to move here to this, the Slam play against the Minnesota Machine and the Iowa Thunder. And those two teams, Minnesota Machine and Iowa Thunder, are both 5-3 teams. And then, you know, we've got the Vegas Showgirls who are playing against the California Lynx. It's a fairly new team. We've got the Prowlers and the Lynx are 5-3, but then we go to the Prowlers who are 3-5. So it just seems to me like there's a little bit more strength in that region for conference, the Midwest Division in the American Conference. So in that matchup, we're definitely going to go with the Slam there. Some of the key quarterbacks that I've already mentioned, but I'll just reiterate that one more time. The Jacksonville Dixie Blues quarterback, Brantley Mack, is a very strong quarterback. Jody Marquardt from the West Michigan Mayhem, Kerry Mitek of the Las Vegas Showgirls are all very strong. The Indiana Speed have Kathy Lancome. So we've got some very strong quarterbacks. Now, running backs in the league, we have Mary Rose Roach, I mentioned her. Leah Cassis from the Speed, she's got almost 1,000 yards on the season. Shadana Hurd of the Outlaws, she's got 830. Shelly Hates, what is her name? Let me see if I can find the statistics so I can give you an accurate name on Shelly there. But anyway, Shelly plays for the Comets and Russian. Let me see if I can get the individual information here. Yeah, there we go. Oh, Shelly Gates. Sorry about that. Shelly Gates has 719 yards. She's got 11 touchdowns for the Comets. Shadana Hurd has 11 touchdowns for the Outlaws. And then we have Breanne Martin. That's Breanne. A couple double consonants in there, double vowels. Anyway, she's got 671 yards. 9.3 per carry, 6 touchdowns. And then I also mentioned Kim Brown, otherwise known as Rocky Brown, for the Dixie Blues. She's got 663 yards and an amazing 54 tackles. That girl just does not quit. I've actually played against her. She's quite an athlete, just unbelievable, and she's tiny. I think she's like 5'3", so she just kind of reminds me of Megan Penrod from the IWFL, the Kansas City team. Real strong player, just doesn't realize how little she is, and doesn't play at all like she's little. She plays just amazing football. Receiving, obviously, they have really strong receivers on the team. It's a good quarterback, for the ones who wouldn't have that many yards. Yeah. Showgirls have 2 or 3 up there. Again, defense, we've got a number of teams with really strong athletes in defense. Jennifer Plummer from the Mayhem, Tiffany Solberger from the Comets with 60 tackles. Ashley Andrews from the Mayhem with 56 tackles. Lindsey Rice from the Comets, 55 tackles. Dixie Blues, Kim Brown, I mentioned her. Christy Ocasio from the Showgirls with 52 tackles. So defense is definitely important, and you can hear the names that keep coming up, the Comets, the Mayhem, the Dixie Blues. Over underneath the tackles for a loss, quite a few speed players, and then a Liberty Bell, Marcia Skinny has 9 tackles for a loss. Ashley McDowell, 11. Angelita Furman from the Speed, both of those girls with 11. Elizabeth Williams from the Slam with 10.5. So we just got a ton of really strong defenders. In sack area, we have the Showgirls with 4 girls. We got Vanessa Hernandez for the Showgirls with 7.5. sacks, Angelic Shoot with 5, that shooter shut, and then we got Shanika Brownlee, 3.5, and Janae Estrada, 3. The Comets have 2 girls with 3 sacks apiece, Sue Keller, Lindsey Rice. So the Speed, we got Moriah Mecklen Allen, I mentioned her, she's at 7 sacks, so just really strong statistics from all of these teams. Ashika Lay, I mentioned her from the Dixie Blues, a lot of forced fumbles and fumble recoveries. And again, then in the kick category, the team that really seems to have the strongest kicker. Who did I put down for that? That's the Indiana Speed. Got a number of really strong teams here, and it looks like the playoffs for the WFA will have a lot going for it. It'll be an exciting time. Again, that game will be played July 11th. I'm not sure where those games will be located. To be honest, the website wasn't very clear on that, just from that one page. I'm sure they probably have information there. It says travel. Let me look real quick and see. I don't know. I think it's going to be helpful. It gives you a playoff bracket. Oh, I see. The championship's going to be in New Orleans. But since almost all these teams are undefeated, I'm not really sure how they're going to decide where the games are played. So try and look that up on the website. If you follow a particular team, I'm sure that you could check that out. I didn't go to look at that. Let me check one more place and see if it shows on the playoff schedule. I think I looked at it only. Yeah, it doesn't really have where the games are going to be played. So that's what things are looking like with the WFA. I am not privy to any information related to them having nominated or announced any All-Stars. We will be talking a little bit about All-Stars in the IWFL, and we're going to move to the IWFL right now and give you some recaps on some of the playoff games that happened here. First playoff game, we had the Majestics playing against the Chicago Force. A number, just an incredible number of information and plays that Rachel Gore was in, lots of offensive and defensive plays. Shannon Fitch made a lot of good plays in this game. That game was played there in Seattle. And it ended with the Chicago Force winning that particular game. And when we look at the IWFL, we just see a number of really strong teams. The Force, their record on the season was, let me get to my page here where I need to be. The Chicago Force were only 5-2, and yet they flew out to Seattle and played a team that was 7-1 and beat them. So the play in these leagues is just getting closer and closer and stronger and stronger. And the outcome of that particular game ended up, what am I, scores here. Seattle scored, there I go. Seattle scored 14, that Chicago 4 scored 28. Now, just to let you know, all of those scores were racked up in the fourth quarter. So, talk about an exciting game. The first quarter 0-0, second quarter 0-0, third quarter 0-0, and then in the fourth quarter, just unbelievable, 28-14. So, the force doubled the offense of the Majestic. Trying to give you just a little bit of information there as far as who scored what. Let me see if I can give you the TDs at least. Gotta go down to the fourth quarter here. Now, by the way, all of these statistics you can easily look up on your own. Just go to the IWFL website. Now, that's www.iwflsports.com. And from there, you can just easily find any of these statistics that I talked to you about. I mean, if you like to hear me ramble on incessantly, then that's perfectly fine. But I just, you know, that all of these statistics are readily available. And I can't give enough kudos to the people who do turn in their statistics. You get, you know, a number of athletes in this league that are just outstanding. And if we don't keep up with the statistics, we just lose a lot of options to just shoot our horns and get the information out there. And I'm not seeing where I have any information here, even in the recap, so we'll just leave it at that the force doubled the Majestic score, 28-14. When we look at the Kansas City Tribe versus the Los Angeles Amazons. The Amazons traveled out to Kansas City. I was able to make it to that particular game. Just to give you what it says on the Amazons website, the Amazons fought a good battle on the gridiron last Saturday night, not only against the Tribe, but also against the weather and themselves. Striking first with a lead of 6-0, the Tribe quickly answered the Amazons, but just as the Lady Warriors felt they were gaining momentum, they headed on the field with 2 minutes left before halftime. The game was called to a halt due to severe lightning storms that delayed the game. Now, I would actually say that, let's see, approximately 40 minutes later, the game resumed, and the Amazons scored again and went for a two-point conversion, leaving the score 14-6 late in the quarter. They tried never scored again, but missed an extra point leading the game. Oh, I see. We're finding a little bit of a syntax in here. The Tribe, never giving up, scored again, but missed the extra point leading the game 14-12 with just under 1:55. Now, I believe that at the end of the first half, there was a field goal, pretty sure. I think that the Tribe scored a field goal. So at halftime, the game was 14-9. But I'm not positive about that. But it seems to me like that's what happened. The Amazons were not able to control the clock. They suffered a few penalties. And they gave the Tribe some good field position with 29 seconds left, fourth down and 4 yards to go for a first down. The Tribe stole the show, passing for a 25-yard touchdown, changing the outcome of the game and ending the Amazon season. So with 29 seconds left, it was a pretty dynamic finish. And the final score was 14-19. So that 6 points there was added. They scored another touchdown. They scored a touchdown or another field goal. I think they had another field goal. Let me 15. Maybe not. I think that I'm not real sure on their specifics there. That came from the Amazon website. This is what Kansas City had to say. The Kansas City tried to defied all odds and defeated the Los Angeles Amazons in 1914 to advance to the Western Conference Championship. Despite a lightning delay in the first half and being down 14-6 deep in the fourth quarter, evidently they did. Maybe they scored two field goals. I can't remember. The team somehow managed to dig deep and put up two late scores. Rusty Sowers, Megan Penrod, and Tegan Stewart scored the three touchdowns on the evening, all completed through the air. The win gives the Tribe one final home game this season on July 11th. Don't miss your chance to be a part of history. They're trying to make it their quest to offer in the national championship. Now, I do want to give some kudos to both the Amazons and the Tribe for having their All-Stars easily accessible on their website. The 2009 All-Stars for the Amazons, the Lady Warriors, number 59, Amy Satterbach is a linebacker. Number 7, Christina Rodriguez, listed as quarterback. She's also a free safety. Shonda Thompson, listed as a linebacker, number 27. Number 64, Rebecca Taylor, otherwise known as Stephanie Taylor. She's an offensive lineman. Plays also a little defense, maybe defensive end. Number 12, Ashley Moody is a running back, as well as Lori Moore, running back. And then number 80, Amber Moffitt-White, excellent defender there. She's a wide receiver also. Some of those players may be alternates, and I'm certain a couple of them are at least a couple of alternates. And they did not stipulate whether they were alternates or actual All-Stars. And then when we get to the Tribe, All-Star Weekend will be held Championship Weekend, July 26th in Round Rock, Texas. The Kansas City Tribe would like to congratulate all the players that made the 2009 All-Star Western Conference team. Now, if you have ever heard me talk about the Tribe before, you know that I can never get this name right. It's Magdalene. And she told me how to say it, but it's a Nigerian name in hockey. It's Obofebe, I think, Obofebe. But anyway, Megan Penrod, Jenny Smith, the league-leading quarterback, nearly at 3,000 yards, probably a postseason play. She probably is at 3,000 yards now. Rusty Sowers, Tegan Stewart, both receivers and defensive players, and then Mindy White. All-star alternates for the Tribe are Lane Anninson, excellent defender, and then Brittany Fisher, who's just everywhere. Now, if you've never seen Kansas City play, they spread the field and run a spread offense. Two wideouts on each side, sometimes three, so they'll run trips to one side and then two wideouts on the other side. It's just amazing to watch them. No huddle. All the signs are called from the sideline, so their team is just pretty innovative in the way that they do things. They're pretty small, but boy, quick and effective. The Wisconsin Warriors were another team that played in the playoffs against the Chattanooga Locomotion. The Wisconsin Warriors won that game 32-6. And again, the Warriors were one of the teams that had their all-stars where I could find them. Let me see if I can. I'm having trouble getting their page open again. But I would like to give kudos to them, and I'll try to get back to their. Let's see if I can get it to open. There we go. Okay, I got it. So let me give you the names of the Warriors who made it. Let's see. Okay. So their coach, Norm Killian, was voted to the Western Conference All-Star team. And then Warriors, Leslie Giddings, Sherry Dayek, Brenda Van Kuik, and Jessica Plamley. I believe Van Kuik is the quarterback, Brenda Van Kuik, and then Sherry Dayek is one of the receivers. Not certain about that, but definitely a very strong team and contenders. They're in a Tier 1, very highly rated, and my best wishes to that team. Chattanooga, I could not find their All-Stars. Let me see if I can find my list of who. Okay. Next game, as far as the playoffs go, we had the DC Divas playing against the Pittsburgh Passion. Most of you may be aware of the fact that the Divas won 27-17, a fairly close game. I believe that was even broadcast. I know the Pittsburgh broadcast their game, but this was held in D.C. Here's information about the D.C. Divas that were honored with All-Star Awards. The Not-So-Dirty Dozen, 12 D.C. Divas honored as IWFL All-Stars. Another perfect regular season has its just rewards. The Divas, the Mid-Atlantic Division champions of the Independent Women's Football League, led the IWFL teams in All-Star selection. 11 starters and one alternate have been named to the conference squad. Representatives on offense include quarterback Alisa Hamlin, running back Rachel Pujowski Brantley, guard Michelle Riddle, tackle Alicia Marfel, and wide receivers Tarek Kellyan and Nikki Williams. Honorees on defense include linebacker Ivy Tillman, tackles Tessa Nelson and Trigger McNair, and defensive backs Catherine Hemlock and Vicky Lucas. Linebacker Graham Major was also selected as an alternate. And again, you know, when they do these nominations, there's just so many linebackers that get placed in that running back. It's very competitive in those positions. A little bit of information about the game. The DC Divas got big plays from their offense, defense, and nearly another from the special teams en route to a 27-17 victory over Pittsburgh Passion on Saturday evening. The Women's Football League playoffs in the Women's Independent Women's Football League playoffs. So that gives you a little bit of information there. Dallas Diamonds faced the Boston Militia, and I have a little bit of information on that game. Their scores, let me see if I can find. Okay, first quarter was 7-7. Second quarter, the Militia scored 20. Third quarter, Dallas scored 7. That was it for Dallas and scoring. Then the Militia scored another 7 in the last quarter. So the Militia scored 34 against the Diamonds with only 14. Boston is a team that has their All-Stars up. And let me see if I can find them. I can tell you right now that the All-Star selections for the Dallas Diamonds include Odessa Jenkins. She's number 3. Number 14 is Monica Foster. That's their quarterback. Number 40 is Jennifer Welter. Number 46 is Jessica Springer. And number 80 is Emily Tidwell. Number 74 is Julie Brickhouse-Parton. And then number 15 is Tiffany Bunton, who was actually an alternate. So the Boston Militia, let's see if I can get to their site so I can tell you who their All-Stars are. And the reason why I went through this is that just to let you know that these teams who make it to the playoffs are typically very strong, you know, both on offense and defense, but they just have an amazing number of great athletes. Some of them play both ways, but let me go through the Boston players awarded 2009 IWFL All-Star Honors. Coach Derek Beasley, number 7, quarterback Allison Cahill, number 11 is running back Kimberly Borean, number 18 is running back Mia Brickhouse, number 24 is C.B. Brianna Gallo, that's cornerback. Linebacker number 25 is Jennifer Olivieri. Linebacker Jessica Puente was number 36. Fullback Dorothy Donaldson is number 39. Number 72 is Roxanne English. She's a defensive tackle. Offensive line Kelly Barker, number 75. Wide receiver Ginger Snow, number 83. O-line and defensive tackle Sade Williams, number 95. And then alternate was O-line Amanda Alpert. She's number 50. So, again, you just have so many dynamic athletes for these teams. It's just pretty unbelievable. The final, we got the Manchester Freedom versus the Montreal Blitz. The Montreal Blitz pretty much played into the Manchester Freedom. They won 68-0. But the Manchester Freedom, one of the teams who consistently turns in their stats and does a real nice job with their website. So, DJ and I have this thing about statistics, and the Montreal Blitz, they haven't turned in a statistic in a few years. I mean, as long as we've known about statistics in the league, they haven't turned them in. So we're not very happy with them, but they didn't add their all-stars to their website either. So, but one of the nicer websites here in the Tier 2 division, we got Jennifer Pirog of the Freedom, Coach Dave Sarvis, Jamie Naylor, another one of the Freedom players on the All-Stars, and then All-Star alternates are Jamie Florence, Christina Sharp, and Teresa Murray. So even though they did lose to the Blitz, I'd like to give some kudos to those girls and their team for having their website featuring their All-Stars. And, when we have women's football, everybody plays as a team. It's very important that everybody works together. And yet, you want to give some kudos to the athletes who work their tails off and stand out even above the rest of the girls who are putting their all into it. Two more games to go over, and then I'll give you some predictions on the games that are coming up. Carolina Phoenix and Carolina Queens. Carolina Phoenix won that 26-16, which was the third matchup and final matchup of those two teams this season. We had the Queens win the first game. No, the Phoenix won the first game. Then the Queens just avenged that not too long ago, maybe a week or two before playoffs. And then Phoenix had some little cards stuck away up their sleeve and pulled them out and beat the Queens this last game. I talked with that coach maybe when I was doing my, not last week, but the week before, and seems like a real nice guy, and good luck to the Phoenix there. And finally, we have the Jersey Justice play the New England Intensity, and that was won by the Justice. They won 30-7. And I wasn't able to find all-stars for those two teams. It's possible they added them, but I wasn't able to locate those all-stars. Now, we are going to have the Jersey Justice and the Montreal Blitz and the Carolina Phoenix and the Wisconsin Warriors. That matchup will happen on July 11th. Those are the final two games of the playoffs before we get to the championship. Those are called the regional championships. And the conference championships between the Tier 1 teams will have the Kansas City Tribe, again, hosting the Chicago Force there in Kansas City. And the Boston Militia will host the D.C. Divas. And those games also played Saturday, July 11th. I'm not going to go into too much detail about those games today. I'm going to go into a little bit more detail next week. Hopefully have an interview maybe or two from a couple of teams so that we can give you some information about how things are looking from their perspective. There are 3 weeks, I guess, until we get to the championship game. Again, if you haven't looked any information up about that, Saturday, July 25th, but that whole championship weekend starts, I believe, on the 23rd. And again, all of this information easily accessible on the IWFL website. If you go to their website, it has quite a few features there, but one is on the football field, there's all these little areas where you can go to, and championship is one of the menu items there, and it's called Championship Weekend. It's in Round Rock, Texas. That's near Austin, and the weekend games there in Central Texas. You can buy tickets, but the All-Star game will be played on Sunday. But the Tier 1 game is at 7, and then the Tier 2 game is played earlier in the day, 10 a.m. All-Star game is at 10 a.m. on Sunday, and there's just a whole host of things going on that weekend. I've heard that it's a beautiful stadium. There's all kinds of places where you can click to find out more about the game, about the accommodations, about tickets. So I encourage you, if you are the least bit curious about how these games turn out, I'm sure most of the girls that have been selected for All-Star games are going to be flying there, watch them play, support your team. It really doesn't matter who makes it into the playoffs. It's all about supporting women's football. Championship is definitely wrapping up, or the playoff game is definitely wrapping up, and we're going to see, you know, one of these four teams come victorious. We'll only have four of the teams that will be playing in those championship games, of course. In the Tier 1 area, we've got the Montreal Blitz, Wisconsin Warriors, the Carolina Phoenix, and New Jersey Justice. Only two of those teams will be a matchup, but, you know, even if you're just rooting for one of those teams, you know, let's say that your team gets eliminated, you'll want to see how the team that beats your team ends up in the championship if they win, or if your team was knocked out by the runner-up. Same thing, Chicago Force, Kansas City Tri, those two teams, this will be their second or third matchup this season, maybe fourth. The DC Divas, Boston Militia, I don't know if they've played this season. Let me look real quickly. Give you that info, but we really want to support women's football every chance we get, and no, this will be the first matchup of those two teams. So if you are a follower of any of these teams, if you're a follower of the WFA and you're interested in attending the IWFL championship, if you follow the IWFL but your team's been knocked out and the championship game for the WFA is closer to you, you know, by all means, just go to one of these games and watch and see how things turn out. The WFA championship is a couple weeks after the IWFL game, and it's in New Orleans. It's a fabulous, beautiful place. I haven't been often, but I have been to New Orleans. It's just a beautiful place. So I encourage you to keep following the teams that are in your area. Keep following the athletes, the friends that you may have. Maybe your curiosity is wanting, is there in the back of your head, and you're thinking, maybe I should play. Go out. Try out. Just follow the team. Take somebody to a game with you. Travel. Make arrangements. It's just a family of football lovers, and appreciate what we have. It hasn't always been this way, but it's our turn to play. Women's football is a great experience for anybody, whether you're a fan, a player, a coach, supporter, volunteer. But this is Deb Jens. I'd like to wrap up the show. I know there's a few minutes left before the full hour is filled up. But we will have a good show for you next week discussing the playoffs, a little bit more info, statistical info about the IWFL. Hopefully some of that info about the WFA helps those of you that are following that particular league. And this is Deb Jens coming to you from Phoenix, Arizona today, and appreciate your listening to the show. If you need to contact me, there's a place there on the website. You can talk to BJ. But BJ, thanks for the chance to be on here. This is brought to you, Women's Friday Night Football Preview, brought to you from Women's Football Talk. Women's Football Talk continues. So have a great week, and follow Women's Football, take a friend of the game. Thanks. Have a great week.